Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the truth of this your word, Father, and take us into the very depths of it, to help us to be able to walk, Father, upright and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we are to walk as your children. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I told you I had some news I was going to share with you. I've been telling all of you for a while. You're going to start seeing some things you ain't never witnessed before in your life. You're going to start seeing miracles and things happen by God that you've never dreamed of. There's a few women that's beginning to see some of this start now. I was telling you, as I was sitting and I was figuring, what am I going to be teaching on Thursday night? Well, I thought about going to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. And then I thought about going to the 13th chapter of Mark. The Lord spoke to me and said, no, you go to the 5th chapter of Matthew's, because I've got one there for you that's going to take you a little while to get through. So I turned to the 5th chapter, and as I started reading, he started talking to me. And I'd been praying about Libby. And he told me, he said, as for your wife, he says, when you go down to see her this next visit, he said, when they bring her out, he said, take both her hands in yours and you say to her, you anoint her with oil, take her hands, and you tell her, I've anointed you with this oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is healing you. He's going to be bringing you home to me. And very shortly, you're going to know who I am. And as I was praying there with her, one of the nurses walked by. But I had just finished up by the time she got by us. I told her, I said, you're walking awful quiet today. She said, well, I didn't want to disturb your prayer. I told them that evening when I got ready to leave, I told them, I said, you're going to start seeing a change here because you ain't going to get to keep her much longer. They just kind of looked at me like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Because doctors say there ain't no cure for this kind of disease. And doctors will say that. There's no cure for Alzheimer's. I told her, I said, she's going to be going home with me shortly. Went back today to see her. Same one I was talking to about not going to have her. And I told him, I said, start watching her. You're going to see some changes. So they brought her out. I always help them because I hold the door. Because she's always in a wheelchair. And the kind they got her in right now, they got four little wheels on it. And they have trouble getting it out that door across the threshold. So anyway, they was bringing her out today. They got her out the door, got her over to where we was going to be setting the meat. Nurse is still there with her. She looked up. She told that nurse, she said, I'm going to be going home with him. She'd never come that close to knowing me before. She told that nurse that I'm going to be going home with him. Nurse looked at her just straight. And she said, yeah, you probably will. I told her, I said, I told you, you're going to see changes, mate. The nurse said, I am seeing them. She was bright, wide-eyed, talkative today. She ain't got it all back yet, but it's coming. Because she knew that she's supposed to go home with me. And that's the first time since she's been in there that she's come that close to actually knowing who I am. But the Lord God keeps his word. And he told us, he said, by my stripes, Jesus himself said, by my stripes you were healed. Healing's already been given. All nine gifts of the Spirit has already been given to God's church. He tells us that. Most people, they don't believe it. They like everything else in the Bible. They read over it. They think nothing about it after they close the Bible. That's the last they ever think about what they've read. Because he tells what he put in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And miracles and healings are two of the things he put in, he tells you he put in the church. So why aren't we seeing them? We're not seeing them because man is not living the kind of life for you to see it. But just so you know, before I get into tonight's message, so you know that I'm not telling you a tale, back to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, and let's start here with verse 27. He says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church." Here's what he put in the church. Actually, this is what your leadership in the church is supposed to be. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. He tells you what he put in the church. Most just will not listen, because they don't pay attention. But in that same chapter, here's what God has given to mankind. The nine gifts, all nine gifts of the Spirit that should be operating within mankind and within our churches today. Let's start here with just verse 1, chapter 12. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with him. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." That's a gift. Wisdom is a gift from God. "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." The knowledge of his word, which we all should have, because that would come with the study. And once you become that born-again child of the living God, the Spirit will give you the knowledge of what God's word is saying, and it also gives you the wisdom to use it. But that's two. To another, faith. Every child of God has been given faith. May not be a lot of faith, may not be strong, but God gave you faith, and now you need to be working on it to build that faith up and to make it strong. And you do that by the continuous use and the study of his word and using it. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. He's telling you again. This is twice the same chapter. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To prophesy. To another, the disconcerting of the spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. But God will not give you something that you won't use or something you don't understand. That's why we come to church. That's why we get into his word, That's why we study his word. But now, beginning our message tonight, as I told you earlier where it was coming from, it's coming from the 5th chapter of Matthew's. But it's something we all need in order to be able to walk with these gifts in our life and to have them in our church. Because our church is to be filled with members that are carrying what this sermon that Jesus preached on the Mount contained. And this is Jesus himself preaching and teaching. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. These next few verses is what you have heard in your days in church. And I know that you go to any church, you've heard them talk about the Beatitudes of the Gospel. Especially the Baptist church. They always talk about the Beatitudes. They never teach you anything about them, but they're always talking about them. Now, here in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now let us back up, because I really want to share you about these verses and the depth of them. You take that first verse there, just a few short sentences, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. Don't see a lot of meaning there, do we? That's why it was so easy for us to close up our Bible when we read it and think no more about it. But you see, that opening verse there about the Sermon on the Mount, that indicates the message that deals with the inner state of your mind and heart. In other words, your spirit. And it lets us know that it is indispensable and absolute. These things are absolute of the true Christian discipleship. Think about that. It delegates the outward manifestation of your and my character, how we walk, how we carry ourselves in the sight and in the eyes of Almighty God. That's what that first verse is all about. That's the depth that is there. In fact, there's even more to it. Because, you know, it goes on to describe by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount his life and gives you and I grace and glory. That's a whole lot to get from that little verse, isn't it? We don't think about that. You see, because we really don't study the Bible. We read the Bible like a storybook. And I'm guilty of a lot doing that a lot of times. Because I'll sit down, and when I should take a couple of hours to study, there'll be things going on, and I may read for 15 minutes or so. I haven't taken time to really see what it's saying. But those first two verses, that's exactly what they are letting you and I know. It's also, too, letting you and I know that actually this message, this Sermon on the Mount, is the longest recorded sermon that Jesus ever preached. Treen, I told you, it's going to take several services to get through it because it took three chapters of writing to get it all contained. It was his longest sermon to the Jewish and their lifestyle. But it was also given for you and I in our day and time. And when we don't teach this as we should be teaching it, we are robbing God's church of some of the greatest statement of true Christian living. That's why we're seeing the churches in the state they're in today. I can remember back when the Baptist church taught that. They taught it in its entirety, and they taught it as it should be. But like a lot of other things, they give up and quit teaching that. Now, we're going to move on here to three and start these Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed means that we're happy. That's what blessed means. It's God's way of making you and I happy or fill us with joy. It's also a basic description of mine and yours, the believer's inner condition as a result of the work of God. You know, the Beatitudes is compared with Psalms 1. But they do not show a man how to be saved. They don't show you how to be saved. But they are telling you rather of the characteristics that you and I are supposed to have when we are saved. We know in order to be saved, we have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins to him, confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to have a preacher even present to do it. Because you ain't done nothing to that preacher. He don't need to know it all even. I don't even want to hear him. I've done enough of my own. don't need yours. My own is hard enough to get rid of. But he confesses them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He asks the Lord to come into his life and take his life over. And then the Lord Jesus, he forgives you of those sins, and his blood covers them. And Jesus said then, he's going to take them and throw them into the river of forgetfulness. He's not going to remember them anymore. That's the way we are saved. But after we have been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to walk with salvation, we should be walking with these Beatitudes in our character. He was talking to, you know, about the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those that will humble themselves before God. They're not proud and filled, as we call it today, big-headed, filled with herself. But they're looking to God. And we all know that once we can walk that way, and we can conceive these characteristics and live the kind of life that we are supposed to live and live the word of Almighty God, then we can see and will make heaven our home. All of this has been in three verses. That's the depth of three verses. And yet we don't want to take time really to get into the Bible and sit down. And, you know, don't just pick the Bible up and say, well, I'm going to read a while. So I'll sit down here and I'll read 10, 15 minutes. I'll close it up. I go on my way. I go doing everything else that I'm going to do. I've learned nothing. That's why it's took me all of these years. Thank you. That's why it's took me all these years to get to the extent of walking with Jesus like I walk today. Because that was the very thing I was doing. Even though I was preaching even years, and the Spirit was walking beside me, was speaking through me, but he was not in me because I did not have the depth of his word, and I was not taking the time to spend in God's word and with God himself in prayer. So he wasn't talking to me. Now he does. He talks to me all day. A lot of days. He'll talk to me all day. Back the last 2 days, he's been talking to me about every few minutes. Reminding me. Sitting there at the house. He'll remind me. Praise Jesus. So I do. Father, I praise in Jesus' name. Father, I'm lifting up the name of Jesus. Father, I want to spend time with Jesus. Father, I want to spend time with you. Father, I want to understand more of your word. Father, I want to walk closer with you. Father, I want to I want the Holy Spirit to work within my family, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. Father, work with them. And my wife, Father, you know what our needs are. And Father, I'm thanking you for taking care of our needs. This is the way my life is now. It's a long way from what it was. This is what we all need. Here in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. The depths of God's promise there, of that statement, and so forth, in the statements we read, is almost inexhaustible. Think about that. Almost inexhaustible. Those who mourn for sin shall be comforted in confession. You know when you've done something wrong, especially if you're one that has been trying to walk with Jesus. He'll let you know. And you see, when you mourn because of that, that's when your conscience is bothering you. Because you have that anguish of the loss, that separation between you and God. But you see, he's not going to walk away from you. And he will give you comfort. And it will come to you because of the compassion of Almighty God. Now, verse 5. Well, let's just take 5 and 6. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He's referring again to those who have been humbled before God and will not only inherit the blessedness of heaven, but also will ultimately share, think about that, will ultimately share in the kingdom of God on earth. Think about it. In 6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Look at the depth we've been in, and we're only to the 6th verse. You know, all of those and all that are yet to come, the future possessors of the earth, we and they are actually to be heirs of Almighty God. And we can even now, those that will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will experience a deep desire for personal righteousness, which in itself is a proof of their spiritual rebirth. Think about that. And those who are poor and empty in their own spiritual poverty recognize the depth of their need, and they hunger and thirst for that which only God can give them. How many times in our lives have we gotten down so low that that we knew that we needed to go to God in prayer for something that we was in need of. And when we do that, we also know that we will be filled, because that is all a promise of Almighty God. He said, I will supply all of your needs. And that is a need. That infilling and bringing back that joy of walking with Him in His kingdom, even while we are still here on this earth. You know, a lot of this we don't see. Why? Because we're concerned about me. I'm the only thing that counts, and I don't need nothing or nobody. Until I get down to where I can't get up. And then I want to call on Him. No. You see, that's the wrong way to do it. In verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All of us that have mercy for others, then we will obtain mercy from God. When we stand in need of it, and we all do. I've been needing it now for quite a few months. I've been walking in God's mercy, being with me. My wife's not with me now. Gone, not even knowing who I am. Not knowing her children, not even knowing who she is. Do you think that's an easy way to walk? You don't know the tears I've shed. And the loneliness I had felt until the Lord moved in. He says, I'm here with you. And everything is going to be all right. You didn't see it keep me out of church? No. Because He was always there with me. I was here where I was supposed to be. But you see, that's all for those that have been born again. And when we are born again, that comes because of the mercy of Almighty God. We're born again by grace and mercy. And that's because God has shared His divine love on us. And we have the work of the Holy Spirit in all of us. And we work with it in producing mercy to others that stand in need of Jesus Himself. You know, Jesus actually became an ultimate example of this very thing. When He cried from the cross, most of us forgot that even in our lives as we live in. We've all read it, no telling us the times. What did Jesus cry from the cross? Ilah ilama sabatane. English, that's my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew the Father had turned away from him, could not look at him on the cross because of sin. And it wasn't his sin. It was your sin and my sin that he had taken to the cross with him. And God cannot look upon it. He turned his head away. What heartache that had to be. And you know, he also cried another statement from the cross too. The one that we really need. Boy, I needed it for years. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was talking about and asking our Heavenly Father to forgive the very ones that nailed him to that cross. That's the kind of forgiveness you and I are to walk in today. It is regardless of what anyone has done against us or to us, we are to forgive them and pray for them. And do it from the heart. Do it with that godly love and meaning that prayer. Now, oh, here comes another one. It's hard to get people to accept. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All of those that are truly saved shall see God. Because you see, they are pure in heart. When you become that born again person, you walk with no more sin in your life. That heart, that spirit is kept clean. Oh, no, no. You hear this priest all the time, no, everybody's got to sin. He's telling you here that you've got to be pure in heart. Anything that's pure hasn't got anything added to it, has it? Virgin olive oil. That's pure olive oil. But now, to make an anointed oil, I take a little myrrh and I add to that olive oil. Is that olive oil still pure olive oil? No. It's got something foreign in it. You see, these are things we've just let go right on by. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers. You see, to be a peacemaker, you are first at peace with God. You can only be at peace with God if you've got these other characteristics that we've read so far in your life, working in your own life. With God, and we desire to live in peace with all men. We don't need to be living a life of argument and all of that upheaval and all that's going around. And you see, if we're at peace with Christ, that enables you and I to be ambassadors of Almighty God. And then we can carry his message, the gospel, to a lost and dying world and help those that are walking in darkness to turn around, change their life, and find light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. All right, now, 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. That indicates that we foresaw this persecution as touching all of his followers. You'll find more about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, where you'll see where he tells us, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He's letting you know when you become that child of God, you're going to be persecuted. Everything ain't going to just stay a bed of roses all the time for you, because Satan is going to come against you. In fact, when you first go to the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the first things you're going to meet is Satan. Because he don't want you belonging to him, to God. He wants you for himself so he can destroy you. Now, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Oh, yeah. You see, again, Jesus has warned us about those that will persecute us. We know that he lived that kind of life. He was persecuted most all of his life. They lied on him. They lied about him. They denied him. They rejected him. They beat him. They imprisoned him. And finally, nailed him to a cross. And he is letting you and I know that if we follow him, they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you and I. We're going to close out here with our scripture for the day with this next verse. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You see, we're not the only ones. We know that his disciples and all of the prophets, they were all persecuted. His 12 disciples, all but one, died a martyr's death, was killed. He was only one that didn't, that died from old age, or natural causes, put it that way. And the prophets, way back in what we call the Old Testament, they were talked about, they were ridiculed, they were persecuted. So why should we find it, or even think that we don't need to be? And you know, if the Bible is true, If heaven is to be gained, then no temporary earthly trouble or persecution can dispossess the child of God of joy in our prospects and our looking for eternal glory that lies ahead for you and I. Think about that. All right. We're going to close there. We're going to be picking up now. And with our next service, which will be Sunday evening, because Brother Dennis is going to be speaking for Sunday morning. But we're going to be dealing with things as us being salt of the earth and of us being the light of the world. And of Christ on the law, his teaching about the law and the difference of law and grace. And about some of his anger. And his teaching about anger. As I told you, there's still a lot here to have. We haven't really even scratched the surface. We've covered the 11 things of the Beatitudes. And that's all we've covered here. But all of you that's going to be partaking communion with us, give you a minute to get everything, get it ready. And then we're going to have communion and our prayer. Really, and oh, and close out for the day. There we go. Okay, now, James, if you will help me with the serving of the... If I get out here, they can't hear me. Now, hopefully, I didn't give the school to go to school.
Well, yes.
All right, now, let me get ready here. Sister B, will you come up front, hon?
I'm not taking communion.
You're not going to take communion? Okay. All right. There is something I do want to read because it's something we all need to know in taking communion, because it tells us what happens if we take it unworthy and tells us what it's all about. Starting here with verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. That's what it's about. We take it to show his death and to show the punishment, to remember those stripes that was on his body that we are healed by today. That's all part of communion. That's what we're supposed to be remembering. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, which is his body, and drink this cup of the Lord, which is his blood, that covers our sins unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. The same as if you had been there giving your voice against him. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not disconcerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Most, when they have communion, don't read that before. They don't tell you what's happening. And it's causing a lot of people to do things they should not be doing. But for all that are saved, all that belong to Jesus, they need to take communion because they need to remember what it's all about. They need to remember the beatings he took to put those stripes, all that tore flesh on him, so you and I could have healing. And the blood that he lost that covered our sins, we should never forget. All right. Now, we'll get ready here. It says, and when he had given thanks, Father, we do give you thanks. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So give all bread that'll take it. You're not going to take it? B, you ain't going to take it? Hand me a piece. Well, you can hand it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just hand it to me. I ain't worried about your finger.
I am.
All right. Take and eat. A little stale. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, get your drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. He said back with all that horse. All right. Let us get ready now and have our closing prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place that we can come to share your word. And Father, we thank you, Father, for each other, to support each other. And Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit for all that is standing in need of healing. Heavenly Father, just touch them. Touch them with thy mighty healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are told in your word that by his stripes we are healed. And Father, we know that your word is true. And we know that you do not and cannot lie, Father. So let us accept that healing power with faith, just as we accept salvation. Let us all walk filled with the Holy Spirit and with your word, Heavenly Father. Throughout the remainder of this day and through the night, keep us safe until we come back together again. Move us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Keep us in health and keep us safe. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, Father. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that has taken him out of every place where he was at, turned her back and walked so far away from him. Father, help us to take those out of office that's against your church, against Jesus, and against your people, that is wanting to bring socialized government and all into our land, Father, to be contrary to your word. And Father, help us to replace them with ones that will stand and work for your church, work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and will work with us, help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, may the Holy Spirit touch each one, Father, fulfilling whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's son, Jacob, Carrie Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, our brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors, Father, keep them filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness, to where nothing comes from them except the truth of your gospel. This young man, Will, Father, my prayer for Will is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, these, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs, Father, as they walk through places to where if they are found, they will be killed, imprisoned. Now, Father, for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, Father, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for any part of the family that will hear this message, we pray for that whole family, that the Spirit will work among those families, helping to turn those that are walking in darkness from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mumbillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palins, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen. Father, all of these, they stand in need of thy healing hand to touch them. Touch them, Father, and make them whole. Put them in a church, Father, that is teaching your word and your truth so that they too, Father, can make heaven their home. And for those that are present here with me, Father, I'm lifting them up and I'm asking for that healing touch to touch each one. Sister B, her hands, Father, gives her problems. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to touch her right now, Father. Touch those hands and bring about that healing that is needed. For my daughter and her back and the squeakiness that she has every now and then, Father, make her whole. Because, Father, then she'll know of you and your power. And she'll know it was you and not mankind. And Brother James Taylor, Father, touch him in a mighty and great way. Keep him at work, Father. Use him. Use him to further your kingdom. And Father, this church is yours, not mine. Make of it what you will. But work with us, Father, to help us to bring others in, to join us to hear your word. And Father, for myself, I ask for more of whatever you have for me. Speak to me. Let me know what it is. Use me in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, once again, keep us all safe until we can all be together again come Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So until then, Father, may we all walk in love with the Lord Jesus Christ first in our lives and our loved ones next. Keep our priorities straight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, remember, God willing, we can all be together again Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Brother Dennis will be speaking to us. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great evening. Good night now.